morning. I just leaned over to Amber, and when Griffin was giving us his little show, they were all wonderful, but Griffin was just funny. I leaned over to Amber and I said, "Honey, it's always our kids, always." And it's true. It seems to be our kids that I remember one year we had a children's program, and one of the mothers in the church that was the most reserved, sophisticated, demure, I mean, just a perfect little mother. Everything had to be just right. And we had a children's program, and her little girl was up here. And the whole time during the program, the girl was flipping her dress up over her head, over her head. And I would look back, and she would just be under the seat. And I was, it happens every time. It happens every time. I just want to say good morning to all of you mothers. I'm so thankful I had a godly mother. She's been gone since 1999. Miss her every day. But she taught me the word. She taught me how to love my husband. She taught me how to love my children. She raised me that I thought being a mom was the absolute best profession that you could have. I still believe that. I know we have a lot of working moms, and that's awesome. But I do believe our most important role in this life is raising our children and raising them in a godly manner. And I want to salute all of you. I want to honor all of you. And especially, I have just had my heart has been more tender even lately to single moms. I just want to say to you single mothers out there, don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because what your kids are getting from you, they could not get from anybody else. And I just believe that when you're doing it on your own, God is giving you extra special giftings. He's given you extra special support to raise your children in a way that they will look back and say, "I didn't miss a thing. I'm so thankful I had a mother." Don't ever get discouraged. I want to honor you all today. Happy Mother's Day. Give yourselves a good hand this morning. Hallelujah. The title of and I'm not doing a traditional Mother's Day. I just felt like this was a word that we all needed, so I'm delivering it, and it's been on my heart for a while, and the title is Yes, You Can. How many of you need to hear that? Yes, you can. I want to talk a little bit today about our past, about our present, and about our future, and I'm going to dwell mostly on our past and our future. We all have a past. I don't care how rich we are, how poor we are, how young, how old. I don't care who you are. We all have a past sitting in here today. If the person sitting beside you right now could look at you and all of a sudden there would be a screenshot of everything you've done in your past, I'm just going to tell you right now, this church would be empty because we would all get up and we would run because we all have a past. Often in life, we feel like that we are in sinking sand and we just cannot move past what has happened in our lives. We get in dark places and we can't pull ourselves out. My first point is don't dwell there. Don't dwell there. Get up and get out. Some of us, we do have great past. We're proud of our past. We're proud of what God has done. There are times that I think there are people that feel like God can't do anything greater in their life than He's already done. I know some elderly people that dwell so much on what God did in their past, they almost forget to live for today and forget to enjoy today. There are others that their past is not so good. All they can look back and see are past mistakes. that they look back and they see all the things that they've done wrong. And they feel like that people will never look at them without seeing their past. The way I look at mistakes is everybody makes mistakes. There are just some that's out in the open that we can all see. Most of them are hidden. So don't look at anybody and make them feel bad for an outward mistake. Because let me tell you, if we were outed, we'd all be in trouble. We need to give people grace and mercy and love and let them know they can come out of where they are. That's what we need to do. There's so many people walking around and they're in shame. They feel like they are handcuffed to their past, and there's no way that they can move on. They only have bad memories. We spend so much time in regret that we forget that we can live for today and we can look forward to tomorrow. We have to learn to look at our past and learn from it, but don't wallow in it. Learn from the mistakes we've made, but move on. We've got to realize that good and bad experiences have molded us, they've shaped us, they've made us who we are. So we need to look at our past and honor it, but don't camp out in it. We've got to move on. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he does for us. We confess and it's over. You know, a lot of us carry grudges. When I was first married and very young, I remember Carl would say something that might hurt my feelings just a little bit. And you know, we're women. Women tend to be a little more emotional. And I tell you what, I could hold on to that thing for days. Months even. I could tell you what he did, when he did it, what time he did it, and I would pull it up when I needed to use it. I could do it. And that is the truth. But let me tell you, when I realized that did me not one bit of good, not one thing came out of that, I quickly said, I'm moving beyond that. Now I don't even notice when he does anything. I mean, but he's really good. He doesn't do much, so I'm thankful for that. You used to be a lot worse, honey. 40 years has done a lot. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Can you say that? I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The message says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going on over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. I want you to hear that today. I'm about to do something brand new. Does anyone in here need for God to do something brand new? He's about to do it. He said, it's bursting out. Don't you see it? We have to be aware. We have to be alert of today. God's forgiven us, but you know, most of the time, we don't forgive ourselves. We walk around carrying the guilt, the shame, and we don't forgive ourselves. Mylon said, it's not a weak hold, it's a stronghold. And when we carry something around in us like that, it is a stronghold. It has us bound. It has us handcuffed, and we cannot move on. We need to learn that we've got to pull down the strongholds and think right. Get our minds right. Get our minds on Christ. And if we do that, our attitudes will change, and so much will change. When I was a very, very young girl talking about the past, I don't even remember how old I was, but I was old enough to be disobedient. And I remember one day, me and my cousin Mary, I don't know if any of you remember this, but years and years and years ago, when it rained and you had ditches and they were pretty clean, you played in the ditches. Now I'm showing how old I am now. But I remember one day we had had a horrible rain, but it was like swimming pools everywhere. And so my mama said, "Now, don't you go in that ditch. It could be dangerous. Don't you do it." So Mary came over and she said, "Hey, you want to go play in that ditch?" And I was like, "No, my mama said I can't go play in that ditch." And she said, "Oh, it's not going to hurt anything. Come on, let's go." So, you know, I did. So we were sitting in the ditch in the water, and I felt so guilty. Oh, Lord, I just was not the kind that could do something wrong and get away with it. So we were sitting in that ditch, and I remember, and I'm not blaming this on Mary. I'm going to have to confess to her, but I remember we were sitting there, and some other friends were in there, and they told a dirty joke. And I remember, and it probably was nothing, I mean, I'm sure back then, but I remember laughing at that little dirty joke. And when I did, I went to get up out of the ditch, knelt down, and a piece of glass went up my knee and gaped it open, and I mean, I started pouring blood. Well, Mary freaked out. She didn't know what to do. So we got home, and my mom asked me, "What in the world? Oh, Mama." And I was just so ashamed to tell her. But she forgave me. But let me tell you something. I have a huge scar on my knee. And when I look at that scar, it reminds me of my disobedience. But that scar has not kept me from living my life. That scar has not kept me from doing the right thing. It's a scar that I have that I learned from, and I learned to move on. I had a cast on my leg for 6 weeks because I couldn't even bend it. And I remember when I got it off, my leg looked like it was shrunken. I mean, it was just little. And I thought, "Oh, God, are you going to punish me for the rest of my life, and I'm going to have a deformed leg?" But I didn't. It got back to normal, but I still bear the scar. You know, we all bear scars, but we need to learn that those scars can be for our good and can remind us that we can move on. And that's the lesson we need to learn. This is what God wants us to know. He freely offers forgiveness. When He forgives you, He forgets. He's not like us. The sins, the hurts, the brokenness, it's gone. It's dead. It is no longer in His memory. We've got to stop dwelling in the past and learn from it. Free yourself from the past. Live today and look forward to tomorrow. My second point is live in the present. And I'm not going to dwell on this one because we're here today. This is the present, and you're honoring God. And that is an awesome thing to do. But we need to learn to live in our present. Steve Jobs, the Apple CEO, one time said, "Your time is limited. Don't waste it." And that's so true. He said, live every day as if it were your last. And we need to learn to value our days. Value the gift that God has given us. My sister was 31 years old. And she had been in poor health her whole life. She had had gastric bypass surgery. And she had lost 100 pounds after that surgery. And she was so happy. She was so thrilled. But she got up on Mother's Day to speak at my father's church. And when she got up, she said, "I just want to thank God today. Because for the first time in my life, I am standing here pain-free. And I'm so thankful for what God has done." And she proceeded to honor my mother for Mother's Day. And my mom was so blessed. That afternoon, we were living out of town. I received a call, and my sister had a hernia rupture. And they had to rush her to the hospital in Charleston. We rushed down there. Long story short, my sister lived 11 days. She had a problem with the anesthesia, and the acid in her stomach came into her lungs and burned her lungs. And she lived 11 days, and she left us after that. But you know what? The last day that she had, that she was aware, she gave God thanks. She gave him glory. And that was her last day. But let me tell you, we need to live every day as if it's our last. Treat the people you love with respect. Treat the people you love and with joy, and let them know every day how important they are to you, because you never know when it could be your last day. We need to be aware of that. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." We all make mistakes, but if we fail enough, we eventually learn success. Very few of us are great the first time we try something, but the problem is not that we fail at it. The problem is we don't want to try again. But if we keep trying, we're going to get it right. It's like the Christian life. We're not great. We're not perfect. We're not like Christ yet. But every day we get a little closer, and we do a little more, and we're a little more Christ-like. That's what he wants us to do. Let's learn to live today and make it count. Third, look forward to tomorrow. Many of us have great anxiety about the future. One thing we know about tomorrow is troubles are going to come. Problems are going to arise. But let me tell you what, they're going to, but you know what? We have a God that is well able to carry us through and to get us through the struggles and get us through the trials and bring us out on the other side. Philippians 3:12-14 in the Message says, "I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me." Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning me onward. I'm off and I'm running and I am not turning back. Can you say, "I'm not turning back" this morning? Thank you, Lord. Even in times of uncertainty, we serve a God of hope. We serve a God of promise. And we serve a God of unlimited possibilities. And that's what we need to look forward to. The Christian life should be full of faith. Faith is not based on our circumstances. It's based on the promises of God. It's based on the assurance of God's word, based on the promises that we have a loving Father. If we love our children as much as we do and we cover them, even when they do something wrong, when it's not perfect, if we love our children that much, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? And he's gracious, and he gives us chances time and time again. Negative thinking guides our decisions and our attitudes. Some people accept the lie that the worst is yet to come. And if they believe that, it probably is. But we need to believe the best is yet to come. No matter what, we live in a crazy world, but if God is in charge, we're going to make it through in the name of Jesus. Some of the happiest people I have ever met was in Latvia. They were poor. They had barely anything, but they were always smiling, always happy, so grateful for every little thing that they had. Some of the most miserable people I know are people in this country that have everything they want and everything they need. We need to learn to be grateful for what God has given us and the life and the breath that He's given us, because we are a blessed people today. We're just blessed. If we're full of hope, God will give us the power to create a hope-filled future, no matter what comes our way. If things are going great for you, praise Him. If things are not going great, praise Him. Because if you praise through it, He's going to get you on the other side of it. We need to praise Him and thank Him for bringing us through. Where there are problems, choose to see the possibilities. God has a plan and He has a purpose for all of us, for you and for your tomorrow. We need to thank Him for what He's done, thank Him for what He is doing and what He's going to do. It's about what we were, what we are, but what we shall be. That's what it's about. I want to encourage you to be filled with faith. Believe for God to do something great in your life. You know, it may not always be what we've dreamed of, but God can work in mysterious ways, and He can create a hope-filled future for you. I read this, and it blessed me so much. I want to read it to you, and just listen to the hope in this. Tomorrow, it's a fresh cake that you've never tasted. Tomorrow is a new path that you've never traveled. Tomorrow is a new sentence that's never been written. Tomorrow is a new song that you've never heard. Tomorrow is a new chapter you've never read. Tomorrow is a tailor-made outfit that you've never worn. Tomorrow is a gift of grace that you or I never deserved. But God's good enough that He gives it to us. Say, thank God for tomorrow. Thank God. There's something exciting about tomorrow when we know who holds our future. I remember an old song, many things about tomorrow I just don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I'm so thankful for that. Don't quit. Don't give up. Look ahead with great faith. Start believing for God to do a brand new thing in your life. Use the past. Use the scars. Use things that have happened to you to learn from them and move on and make a great future. I thought about that scar on my knee, and I said, Lord, I don't love that scar, but I'm so thankful that it wasn't my leg. I'm thankful that I learned from it. When Tiffany was just a baby, I believe, goodness, yes, yeah, she was just in a car seat, and Shannon's son, Sheldon, was riding with us. And it was raining, and somebody was in the middle of the road stalled, no brake lights, no anything. And I went to slam on brakes, and when I did, I ran into the back of them. And it was a hard hit, but I did like this to cover Brandy, and Tiffany was in her car seat, and Sheldon was big enough to take care of himself. But my leg got jammed up under the dash of the car. And the whole front of my leg, I bear a scar from that accident. And it's not pretty. It's an ugly scar. But you know what? Every day that I look at that scar, I say, Lord, thank you. Because that didn't turn out for bad. It turned out for my good. Because I still have a leg to walk on. It could have been my leg, but I have a leg to walk on. I have a scar, but that's okay. That scar proves that God was taking care of me, and He had me in His arms. And all of the everybody that was in that car was protected, and I'm so thankful. You know, we all have scars, and I was thinking this morning There are people in this place that have had heart surgery. You bear a real scar from heart surgery. But you know what that scar says? That scar says, I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm living now. I'm living for God. He has healed me. He has raised me up. That scar is a sign of God's goodness. If anyone in you in here has had heart surgery and you bear a scar, I want you to stand real quick. If you have a scar from heart surgery, anybody, look at this. Look. They're standing and they're declaring the word of the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What about cancer? Is there anyone in this room that has had cancer? And through the chemo, you lost your hair? Anything that reminds you of God's goodness? Is there anybody in this room that, look at there, look what God has done. Look at the goodness of God. They're scars, but those scars are a sign of God's goodness. I'm so thankful today that He is our God. He is faithful. He gives us hope. He gives us the power to forget our past, except to learn from it. He gives us power to live today, and He gives us the power and the hope and the faith to look forward to tomorrow. I'm so thankful for that. Let's all stand. I just want to have a confession before we finish and just declare that God's goodness is in our life. I want you to repeat after me. I am entering a time of increased favor. I believe God will empower me with greater authority. Grace, spiritual blessing, faith, and supernatural provision. I believe for supernatural increase and promotions. I believe for restoration of everything. Say that again, of everything that the enemy has taken from me. I believe I will have honor in the midst of my enemies. I am believing for greater victories. Say it again. I am believing for greater victories in the midst of greater odds. Finally, I am believing battles will be won. And I won't have to fight. Because my Father, point to yourself, my Father, say it again, my Father will fight them for me. I declare, this is the season of the favor of the Lord. Say it. Say it again. I declare. This is the season of the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah.